Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part three of a four-part series entitled Don't Be Nice, and today's message is specifically entitled Don't Be Nice, Be Peaceful. And it is based off of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. So let us dive into the Word today. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, and honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. During the passing of the peace, congregations greet each other as brothers and sisters of Christ and pass the peace to one another. They pass the peace of Christ to one another. Churches often debate back and forth whether they should include that in the order of worship or where it should be included if they are going to include it. And I've been in churches where they don't do it at all. I've been in churches where they do it right in the middle of the service. I've been in services where it's done at the end as following the benediction. In fact, in the contemporary service I lead, we do it right at the end. I say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Go in peace and pass the peace of Christ to all around you. Amen. And then people break out into greeting each other, and it really fits in that particular frame of service. At the traditional service that I lead, I do it. It happens right following the announcements, where people get up in the middle of the service and greet each other. But regardless of where we place it, where it is placed for me is not as important as it being placed in the context of worship. We should be greeting each other in the peace of Christ. We should be. We absolutely should be. And for the sake of today's message, I want you to just imagine the words. As you're listening to this, I just want you to imagine the words, the peace of Christ be with you. And surely if you've been in the church context before, you've heard that said, where people get up, they greet each other, and they greet each other often with the peace of Christ be with you. What are we actually saying when we say that? What does it mean to have the peace of Christ within you? I will begin by telling you what it does not mean. It does not mean that all things will be smooth, or that you'll finally be surrounded by like-minded people who think the way you do, and do things the way you like them done, the way you do things. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is an action that requires us to seek justice and harmony. And I've talked about this before, if you remember. Harmony is not where everything is like everything else, where we are all in a room full of like-minded people who think and act and behave and look the same way that we do. Harmony is actually the end goal of unity. not uniformity. And unity is where different people come together for a like-minded cause. They may be different in every other aspect, but there's something that unites them, that brings them in unity with one another. And in that unity comes harmony, where different chords work together. I want you to think about that. The goal is not uniformity, it is unity. And peace is not the absence of conflict, it is an action that requires us to seek justice and harmony, to seek unity. Peace is not a bumper sticker with different world religion symbols and the words coexist on it. I have often said that the problem is that that bumper sticker always irks me when I see it, because I've often said that the problem is that we are coexisting, just not peacefully. The problem is we are coexisting. That's why there are wars. That's why there are conflicts. That's why people don't get along, because we coexist in this world together. We're just not doing it peacefully. So coexisting and peace are not necessarily equal. They're not necessarily one and the same thing. Peace is not, again, uniformity or people lining up with your likes and avoiding your dislikes. Biblical peace, my friends, biblical peace is rooted in the Jewish concept of shalom, community, wholeness. Even deeper than that, peace is to have and to share the mindset of Jesus Christ. Without the mind of Jesus Christ, without the mindset of Jesus Christ, without putting on Jesus Christ's mind and thinking and behaving like Jesus Christ and living into Jesus Christ, there can be no peace. Jesus is, after all, the Prince of Peace. Amen. To help us better understand biblical peace, we can look at somebody, say, like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a central figure in our American history, for those of you who are listening in America. He was a central figure in American history who was actively seeking biblical peace. And as I'm sure you remember, his dream was for a society that would not judge children or people, for that matter, and I quote, by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Biblical peace. King's challenge was for people to take on the mind of Christ and to put it into action. We're all challenged to a new frame of reference for peace. King challenges us to take on a new frame of reference for peace. In our families, in our friendships, in our churches, in our communities, and in our society, such relationships are built on shalom, on justice, mercy, humility, grace. Sisters and brothers, God has a clear vision for peace, and he modeled it for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We cherish the song, Jesus Loves Me, and Jesus Loves All the Little Children. Why? Because such songs teach us the fundamental truth that Jesus loves us exactly as we are. And this is important to understand, because this is the foundation of biblical peace. This is the foundation of the peace of Christ being with us. Jesus loves us exactly as we are. All lumps, bruises, sins, disparities, all things that keep us away from God cannot stop Jesus from loving us. There's a song by Bon Jovi called Welcome to Wherever You Are. It's off of the Have a Nice Day album. And in that album, he says, he's saying to not fret about wherever you find yourself. And he says this line, remember you are perfect for God makes no mistakes. Now, I always used to quibble with that line because, well, yeah, it may be true that God doesn't make any mistakes. But, I mean, you know, if you're a heroin addict or if you're in jail because you did Grand Theft Auto or something like that, that's not God's mistake. That's your mistake. And sometimes we are where we are, not because that's where we ought to be, but because that's where we find ourselves due to our choices. But in reflecting on that song, I think what John Bon Jovi was trying to get at in it is that God loves us exactly as we are. God loves us where we are. I mean, God may not want us there, and God may be working to pull us out of those situations, but God's love doesn't stop for us just because I'm addicted to heroin, or just because I have a theft problem, or because I'm not clean enough, or I'm not bright enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not, you know, you name it. Nothing stops God from loving us. Jesus loves us exactly as we are. We don't need to be anybody else but who we are. Jesus loves us. Even as sinners, Jesus loves us and invites us to join him. Yes, yes, things will change about us if we align ourselves with and follow Christ. If we line ourselves up with Christ, we will find ourselves seeking freedom from addiction, seeking freedom from our sins and our shortcomings. We will find ourselves slowly but surely changing, maybe not overnight. We may still struggle with those things for years and years to come, but God is working within us to change those things, no doubt. But Christ does not force us, nor does he make that some sort of false prerequisite for his love. His love is unconditional, and it is the true source of peace. To say you are seeking biblical peace as found throughout Scripture means that you are seeking shalom, wholeness, and, this is important, belonging for all. That means nobody is excluded from God's peace, from God's shalom. They may exclude themselves, but they're not excluded on our behalf. To say you are seeking biblical peace means that you are seeking shalom, you are seeking wholeness and belonging for all. You are seeking to love others as Jesus loved, to love them as they are, because Christ loves you as you are. Do any of us think we're perfect? Do any of us think that we don't have quirks that annoy other people, or that we don't have quirks that upset and disappoint God? Do any of us think that we stand on that kind of a platform where God looks at us as perfect human beings, as perfect examples of what we ought to be? Of course not. But Christ loves you as you are, and because of that, we are to love others as they are. Here are three truths about Christ's peace. First, Christ's peace is strength, not through force, but through gentleness. That's why Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did not seek to return violence for violence, because that is not true strength, that is not true peace. Peace is strength, but through gentleness, not through force. Second, you will only find peace when you fill your mind with the things of Christ. This is beyond our understanding, and it happens through the grace of God. In verse 8, Paul gets specific. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Finally, peace requires action. In fact, peace is the mind of Christ in action. Paul, in fact, puts it this way in verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. In other words, Paul lived and died modeling the peace of Christ, modeling himself after Christ, and we are called to do the same, to follow suit with that. Christ wants you, my friends, Christ wants you to be a peacemaker. In fact, Jesus Christ had this to say about it: God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. First, have the mind of Christ, and then put it into action. Then the peace of Christ will be with you. It won't just be words we say to one another, it will be a reality. Peace is action when we conform our minds to Christ and then act. So this week, let's commit to be peacemakers. As our minds are conformed to Christ and we begin to act, the world around us will change. The world around us will change. Peace doesn't just change us, by the way. It brings shalom for all. So remember, don't be nice. Be peaceful and work. Work for peace, seeking justice and harmony in your lives and in the lives around you, and certainly in the society, in this world around us all. Seek justice and harmony, and may the peace of Christ be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this challenging message that challenges us to go deeper in our roots, Lord, to have our roots grow deeper in you, so that we may truly experience your peace, which is honestly rooted in your love and acceptance of us all. Lord, there is no greater peace than we can have than the assurance that you love us as we are, and that there's nothing we can do to earn your love, but that your love has already been freely given to us. And Lord, if we truly understand that for the truth that it is, then out of us will come such love toward others, for it'll be a natural response to the love that you have shown us. So Lord, fill us with that assurance and give us your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So friends, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. It's been a pleasure. And again, today's message was Don't Be Nice, Be Peaceful, part 3 of a 4-part series on not being nice. Stop being nice. And that's not calling you to be a jerk or mean to others, but simply letting us reframe how we ought to be as Christians. And nice is not a biblical requirement. However, being kind, being joyful, being peaceful, and next week being loving, those are biblical requirements. So again, I'd like to remind you that we will be back on next week, and I hope you'll tune in. And I'd also like to point you to the episode notes, and you can click on the links there, support the various things that we have linked there. For instance, the Life Giving Water swag store, where you can purchase awesome t-shirts, coffee mugs, those sort of things. And hey, I'm actually wearing right now not a coffee mug, that'd be funny, but I'm actually wearing right now a t-shirt from that store. I'm wearing my very own Life-Giving Water Messages t-shirt. And so, they've got pretty awesome stuff there, and I hope that you'll support this ministry by going there. But the easiest way you can support us, of course, is by rating us and reviewing us on whatever platform you listen to. That helps bump us up so that people get the message, as it were. So I hope that you will do that. And in the meantime, friends, I want to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.